Been preaching through the book of Genesis on Sunday mornings, and we're in Genesis chapter 4. I always try to work ahead and give my preaching plan to Brother Bill. And sometimes I just have a text or a topic or a general headline. And he said, Cain and Abel. I haven't gotten too many hymns in the hymn book about Cain and Abel. So I didn't give him enough to work on this morning. Genesis chapter 4. I'm not going to read the passage, but I ask you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to walk through the passage together. I entitled my message this morning, Religion Without a Relationship. And there is a difference, I believe, between religion and Christianity. Religion is man's search for God and man's desire to please God. And you see many religions of the world looking for God and their desire to please God. They offer sacrifices. They do some horrific things sometimes in the name of God. But Christianity is more than that. It is God's plan. It is God's initiative to have an eternal relationship with mankind. I do not believe we need more religion in this world. I think we need more relationships with Jesus Christ. We need a relationship with the living God. And I think we see that truth played out in the contrast between Cain and Abel. They were the first two sons that are mentioned in the scripture after the fall of man. After Adam and Eve rebelled against God, were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel are the first two sons that are mentioned according to the scripture. And God gave these sons to Adam and Eve after their rebellion, after their fall, after being cast out of the Garden of Eden. And we see how their lives and their relationship with God begins to play out. And just keep your Bibles open because I want us to look at the story this morning. And as you fill out the outline in the bulletin, we can help you with that as we look at the scripture this morning. First of all, I want us to notice the contrast between the offerings of Cain and Abel. The contrast of the offerings. Chapter 4, verse 1 said, the man had relationships with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. Now, Cain gave an offering from the fruit of the ground, and the Bible says Abel gave an offering from the flocks. And there are some Bible scholars who've made the case that the contrast between the two offerings is that Abel offered a blood sacrifice, whereas Cain offered a sacrifice of fruit and vegetables. And that was the difference, why God accepted one offering and he did not accept the other. We certainly do know it is true that after Adam and Eve fell and disobeyed God, ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says they tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves. They tried to sew garments and make garments out of fig leaves and cover up their nakedness. And they ran and hid from God when he came walking in the garden. And God covered them, not with fig leaves, but when God arrived on the scene and confronted them over their sin, the Bible said an animal was slain and God gave them a covering for their nakedness. And it required the sacrifice of an animal. We do know that is true. And that's why some Bible scholars point to that as the fact that Cain's offering was rejected and Abel's offering was accepted. Is because Cain had been taught if you're going to please God, you're going to have to offer a blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. The way God offered whenever he covered Adam and Eve's nakedness. But I think it goes deeper than that. And I want us to look at it a little more closely. One of the translations that I looked at says Cain offered some of the fruits that he brought from the ground. But when you look at Abel's offering, it says he offered the firstlings of his flock. In the New American Standard says that it was the fatlings, or the fat portions of the flock. In other words, Abel brought the very best that he had. He didn't pick and choose. He said, oh man, I got a runt. I don't really want that one anyway. Why don't I give that one to God? And I think that was the real difference. It wasn't that one was a blood sacrifice, one was not, so much as it was the attitude with which it was given. And we don't read everything. We have to read it between the lines. We don't see everything. But we know there was something about Cain's attitude God was displeased with, and so he rejected the sacrifice. There was something about Abel's attitude that he was pleased with, and so he accepted the sacrifice. And the hint of Scripture is that Abel offered the very best that he had, while Cain offered his rotten melons. Had a bad spot on a tomato. I didn't want that one anyway. I'm going to give it to God. There was a difference in the attitude with which he gave these offerings. I suggest to you that Cain probably kept the best for himself, and he gave his throwaways to the Heavenly Father. He gave what he did not want for himself anyway. We do know this. The ultimate thing the Scripture says is that God accepted Abel's offering, but he had no regard or no respect for Cain's offering. So there was something about the offering and the attitude with which it was given that was unacceptable to God. And so there's the contrast between the two offerings. The second thing I want us to look at is the conversation that Cain had with God. Because it says in verse 5, Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do not do well, he says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Won't you be happy? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. We look at this experience and Cain becomes angry. He becomes angry at God, but he not only becomes angry at God, he becomes angry at Abel. Because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and he did not accept Cain's sacrifice. He has this anger that his brother's offering was acceptable, but his was not. And so he's angry. If God had rejected both offerings, both sacrifices, I think Cain would have been okay. God didn't like mine. He didn't like yours either, Abel. Misery does love company sometimes. I think Cain would have been all right if God had rejected Abel's offering as well. But because God accepted Abel's offering and did not accept his, he became very angry, not only at God, but he became very angry with Abel. And God confronts him about his anger. He gives Cain this warning about his attitude. Now you would think that if God gives us a warning, we would stand up and take note. We would listen, ears perked up. God says, Cain, your countenance reflects your attitude. You don't look happy, you look angry. And if you do not master this anger, sin will rule over you instead of you ruling over sin. Now last week we looked at this character called the old devil. One of the things we looked at is the fact that he wants to have control over us. He wants to master us. He wants to tempt us. He wants to test us. He wants to try us. He wants to get us out of God's plan. But God gives Cain this warning about his attitude and talks to him about sin crouching at the door of his life. And in my mind, I see the old devil like a lion pouncing, ready to pounce on old Cain, ready to devour him. To get him to do the wrong thing. And God gives him an explicit warning. And Cain would have been wise to heed God's advice. But the third thing I want you to notice is the conduct of Cain. God has this conversation with him, but now you see his conduct. Rather than listen to what God has to say, it says, verse 8, Cain told Abel his brother. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Killed him. Again, one of the translations says, the New American Standard says, Cain told Abel. Told Abel what? Well, one of the translations says, Cain called Abel. He talked Abel out. And here's how I sort of imagine the conversation may have gone. You remember, Abel is a tender of the flock. He's a shepherd of the flock. And Cain is one who raises fruit trees and grows the herbs of the field and the fruits of the field. And he may have said something like this to Abel. He says, Abel, I'm just breaking some new ground. And I've got to cut down some trees and so I can clear some new ground for my vegetable garden. And I'm having this one stump that I'm having a really hard time getting out. And would you come? I've got some tools that can maybe help me pull that out of the ground, but would you come and help me get that stump out of the ground? And Abel says, yeah. In fact, I've got an oxen that will probably help you pull that stump out of the ground. I'll come and help you, Cain. I'll come and help you. And while old Abel is down there wrapping a rope around the stump, Cain comes up with a big stick and just whacks him over the head and takes his life. And what we see in this experience is this is not some emotional moment where he gets excited. It's not some accidental homicide. This is intentional, premeditated murder. Wicked at its core. God had warned Cain about his anger, about his attitude, about his heart. But rather than respond to God's warning, Cain ignored all of that, decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. And he took Abel's life. This was his brother. It's not some stranger. This is a member of his immediate family. He hated Abel at this moment because he was jealous of God's relationship with Abel, and he was angry because of his own lack of relationship with God. So you see the conduct of Cain. Now I want you to notice the confrontation with God. Look at what happens. Verse 9. The Lord said to Cain, where is your Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? How would I know? I'm not his secretary. I don't keep his appointment book. God confronts him over what he's done. And he thinks he's going to hide this from God. He thinks he's going to hide his sin from God. He should have known from the stories mom and dad told him, you can't run from God, you can't hide from God. God knows your disobedience, God knows your rebellion. But Cain thinks he's going to hide this deed from God. And here's what God says, verse 10. What have you done? What have you done? Sounds very similar to what he asked Adam and Eve after they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What have you done? Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to eat? What have you done, Cain? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. God says to Cain, I know what you've done. I know you've taken your brother's life. Cain, you cannot hide your sinfulness. You cannot hide your rebellion. You cannot hide your attitude. This is the very thing I warned you about, and look what it has brought you. You have taken the life of your brother. You have taken his life and tried to hide it from me, all because you desired to please me on your terms rather than come to me on my terms. God confronts Cain. But now I want you to notice the curse upon Cain. The curse that comes upon Cain. Look at verse 11. He says, now you're cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground. From your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, then whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. In verse 16, Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. There's this curse that is placed upon Cain. God places this curse because of his sin. He says, you will become a vagrant and a wanderer. And when you work until the ground, Cain, you've designed your life to work until the ground. But now when you work until the ground, it will not produce the fruit that it once did. Because you've not been faithful, I will not allow you to be fruitful. You will not be very good as a gardener anymore. Now, if you go on and read the story, you find out later that his descendants become iron workers, metal workers, because they realized the curse. They were not going to be able to be effective in tilling the ground anymore because of the curse that was upon Cain. But the greatest curse of all is that he went out from God's presence. Look at verse 16. He went out from the presence of the Lord. That's the greatest curse of all. God is no longer in his presence. God is no longer having a conversation with him. The greatest curse of all is that you are separated from the Heavenly Father because of your sin. That's the greatest curse of all. And Cain's curse was great. He was cursed to be a wanderer. He was cursed to be fruitless. But he was cursed to be separated from the Heavenly Father. Literally, it says he went into the land of Nod. The land of Nod. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss land. The land of Nod. But it means the land of wandering. The land of wandering. He was just a wanderer. He went out from God's presence and he didn't have a land. He was a vagrant. He just wandered around. No place to call his home. He's a vagabond. Now that's the story. But what can we learn from it? And most of my message today is in the conclusion. So you thought I was done, I'm not. I want to share with you these truths. First of all, sin always tries to shortchange God. Sin always tries to shortchange God. I believe what Cain tried to do in offering the sacrifice he was offering compared to the sacrifice Abel was offering. Abel offered his best. Cain tried to shortchange God. He wanted to give him less than his best. He wanted to give him the cast-offs. One of my daily Bible readings is in the book of Malachi this week. And if you read the book of Malachi, they had the same problem in the Old Testament. They were giving God their leftovers, their maimed and diseased animals as sacrifices. And God said to the nation of Israel, he said, offer that to your governor, to your king. See if that would be acceptable to them. He said, I'm the God of gods, and it's not acceptable to me. You're to give the best that you have to God, not your cast-offs. You should never try to shortchange God. Not your gifts, not your time, not your talents. Never shortchange God. Give him the best, the first fruits of your life, the best of your life, the fat portions of your life. Give it to him. But sin will always try to shortchange God. Secondly, sin always tries to make others look bad so we can look good. Sin always tries to make others look bad so we can look good. Now, Abel had no intent to make Cain look bad. But I believe Cain had every desire to make Abel look bad. That's why he was so angry with God. He said, God, you accepted Abel's sacrifice. Why is his sacrifice so much better than mine? Mine's just as good as his. See, he's trying to bring Abel down to his level. And so he was angry. He tried to make Abel look bad so he would begin to look good. And I've noticed over the years that a lot of times critical comments about other people often are done to propel other folks. Did the Lord come back? We take these moments and those comments, and a lot of times people try to tear other people down so they can make themselves look good. They can elevate themselves to a position. And if you can't elevate yourself to a position of righteousness or looking good, then what you try to do is tear everybody down to your level so that everybody looks bad. Everybody looks bad. And that's what Cain desired to do. sin in his life, he wanted to make Abel look as bad as he looked. The third truth is this. Sin always tries to cover up bad behavior. Sin always tries to cover up bad behavior. You see this over and over again. What did Adam and Eve do? They ran and hid from God and they covered themselves up with fig leaves. They tried to cover up their bad behavior and they couldn't cover it up. What did David do when he committed adultery with Bathsheba? He tried to cover it up. He tried to make sure Bathsheba's husband came home from the battlefield and slept with her so that this child that was his would be thought to be her husband's. He tried to cover it up, but when Bathsheba's husband wouldn't even go home to spend time with his wife, he had him killed on the battlefield in order to cover up his sin. Bad behavior. Sin always tries to cover up bad behavior. But you know, God wants us to confess sin quickly. When sin happens in our life, we shouldn't try to cover it up. We ought to confess it. We ought to confess it to God and we ought to confess it to one another, that we have done wrong so we can be accountable to one another and hold one another to account. Sin tries to cover up bad behavior. The fourth truth is this. Sin drives us away from God's presence. When Cain sinned, he went out from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, God says this in the book of Psalms. He says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. If I regard iniquity in my heart, David says, the Lord, will not hear me. We cling to sin, we hang on to sin, and it drives a wedge between us and God. But here's what God promises. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we should not try to hide our sins. We should confess our sins. And confess means to see our sins the way God sees them, to acknowledge them the way God acknowledges them, and know that we cannot pull any surprises on God. He can't pull the wool over His eyes. You cannot put a blindfold on God. He knows everything about you. So when you sin, the best thing you can do is confess it. Otherwise, your sin will remove you from fellowship with God as believers, and as a non-believer, it will drive you further and further away from God as you rebel. Sin ultimately will send us to hell if it's never dealt with. Sin will send us to hell if it's never dealt with. How do you deal with it? Through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Coming to Him, confessing your sin, acknowledging your need for Him, and asking Him to give you eternal life and forgiveness. The last truth is this. Sin has consequences that linger longer than we would like. Sin has consequences that would linger longer than we would like. I didn't read it all. But it says Cain had relationships with his wife and she conceived. Now, I've had people who are Bible scholars or people who always try to stump me with this Bible scholar question is, well, where did Cain get his wife? Just remember, Adam and Eve lived to be 930 years old. 930 years old. And there were literally 7 to 8 generations of children living at the same time. Nowadays, what? You're lucky if you get 4 generations living together at the same time. 4 generations. You got grandparents, parents, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. That'd be 5, wouldn't it? 5 generations. But think 8 or 9 generations living all at the same time. Adam and Eve probably had hundreds of children. Help, please, Eve. Help her. Hundreds of children. They probably had hundreds of children. Hundreds. And the Bible said from the very beginning that they were to be fruitful and multiply. So where did Cain get his wife? It was one of his parents' descendants. I don't know if it was one of their children or grandchildren or what, but he found a wife somewhere else. And by the way, if there weren't any more, who's going to chase after him to take his life? The Bible only tells us about 2 boys in the beginning, but you can assume there were dozens, maybe even hundreds, of brothers and sisters we know nothing about. The Bible just gives us details about Cain and Abel. But notice what happens to Cain's descendants. It gives us a rundown. All the way down verse 17, it said relations. He had relationships with his wife. She conceived, gave birth to Enoch. He built a city and called the name of the city Enoch. He must have been proud of himself. And it starts telling us who all was born. And you get all the way down at the end of verse 18. Methusiel became the father of Lamech. And Lamech took to himself two wives, the beginning of polygamy. And he gave birth to Jabal. I always like these names. Jabal, Tubal, and Tubal-Cain. Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal. If we had three boys, that's what I was going to name them. Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal. In verse 23, Lamech had these three boys. And it says he killed a man. It just doesn't give a whole lot about it, but it just says he killed a man. He said, I've killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Where did Lamech learn this behavior? Previous generations, passed down from generation to generation to generation. And here Lamech is, several generations removed from Cain, but Cain still has influence over his life because he remembered the stories of what his grandfather did. Oh yeah, I remember what Cain did. Cain got by with it, I'm going to get by with it. Cain was spared, I'll be spared. And he tried to justify his behavior based on what granddad had done. Listen, sin lingers. Whether we want to or not, it lingers longer than we would like. And it has influence upon not only our generation, but the next generation and previous generations. And there are cycle upon cycle of bad behavior that occurs because of a result of people's sinful behavior. The same is also true, by the way, for godly behavior. If you express godly behavior, you can have generation after generation after generation of people who live godly lives based on the example you have set. Lamech was a fifth generation grandson of Cain, and yet he was still influenced by Cain's behavior. My friends, I hope that I have that kind of legacy in a positive way, not a negative way. I hope that I have that kind of legacy on my fifth generation grandson or grandchild. I hope that the life I have lived will influence them to live for God rather than live in sin. I hope it will drive them to God rather than drive it away from God. And I believe we have a choice today. We have a choice to live a life like Cain lived or a life like Abel lived. A choice to live for God or a choice to choose against God. We got a choice to rebel against God or we got a choice to please God and obey God. What's your choice going to be? If you want God to walk with you in sweet fellowship, sweet relationship, you cannot cling to the life of sin. You must walk according to the life of righteousness. And that righteousness has to be imparted through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot make ourselves right by good behavior. We must be made right by the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Himself. He makes us right. And when He makes us right, then God begins to allow what He works in to flow out of our lives so that we become more like Jesus. We begin to look more like Jesus. Do you have that relationship with Him? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? If not, do not wait. Make the decision today to relate to Him, to confess your sin to Him, to acknowledge your need for Him, and to cry out to Him. And the Bible says if you call out to the Lord, He will hear you and answer you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to You today with grateful hearts. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. We come to You, Lord, acknowledging that we all have sin in our life. But as believers, we bring our sin to you and believe that you have taken that sin, nailed it to the cross, put it to death, so that we might live according to your righteousness. God, help us not to allow sin to be our master. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit of God to be in control of our lives. Help us to live for you until Jesus comes. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.